welcome back to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 442, long overdue. My name is James Gilmore. Joining me today is Rick Cowley.
Hello. Sorry, I had a mouthful of water.
It's all right. And Emily Soden.
What's that?
She had a mouthful of cat earlier.
That sounds very wrong.
That's exactly right. It was the cat fluff detached from the cat already. We didn't tear it from its shank or anything, did you?
No.
Jesus.
Not unless it's really winding you up.
No, she's quieting down now, so no. Hopefully no cat interruptions or meowing.
Well, human-on-creature violence is all the rage now, what with that Rampage movie.
Oh, true.
The best-reviewed rock movie. It's like 53% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's technically not awful completely. I kind of want to see it, though.
I don't.
It's going to obviously be garbage, but I do. I've rented Jumanji. The new Jumanji movie, granted for only £1.99 as an offer on Amazon.
Yeah.
Other streaming services are available, but I kind of have to see it, I think.
Okay.
Because I quite like The Rock, even, we've said this before, even though everything he's in is terrible, I do quite enjoy watching him. And from all the reports, it's a much better movie than you would expect.
Yeah, do you want to hear a secret?
Is it going to be a spoiler for the Jumanji movie?
No.
Okay, go on.
It's going to make you look at me differently, though. I bought that on the day it came out. And I saw it twice in the cinema.
Now, I'm not looking at you differently, Em, because that's kind of what I would have expected you to do. Sorry to disappoint you there. But you assumed I held you in higher regard than I actually do. No, that's fine. I'll watch it. I'll get back to you and see just how big a mistake you've made.
I regret nothing. I've already watched it like well over 10 times.
It might be good. It's good got Kirsten Gillen in it. She's quite good.
Yeah.
In The Guardians. Not movies. Games. Games, games. Hello, everyone. It's been ages. It's been like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something. But I was leaving for San Francisco in one of those weeks. I was in San Francisco on another one of those weeks. But now I'm back. So sorry about the delay, but we're going to make up for it with a bumper show. Filled with, not interviews, because there simply isn't the time, because we're going to be covering over a fortnight's worth of stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that you guys have been doing. Thank you for not burning down the place in my absence. I was delighted to say none of you touched any of my stuff.
We were tempted. You haven't found it yet.
Oh, no. What's missing? Rick, what's that behind your back?
Just don't look in your drawers, okay?
Oh, God. I should have specified. I said, don't take anything, but also don't leave weird around my place either. Yeah, but we got, because of that, and I'll discover the awful things you've left me later, we've got a lot to talk about. So, updates for Gorogoa, Fortnite finally getting a release date for Android, we've got Resident Evil 7 coming to Switch via the internet, and only the internet in real time with streaming. Will it work? Let's find out. Jurassic World Alive, it's taken up the Pokemon Go crown, but will it? New releases with the likes of Dragon Ball Legends is out on Android, that's exciting, isn't it? Skalak, you've got Disney Heroes Battle Modes, which me and Rick are both a little bit bored of at this point. Homo Machina came out while we were away. Rick's talked about it. We're going to give you the actual review. Zero Sum is saying weird things about cancer. Oh, so much. So much to cover. But first, it's the news. We loved Gorogoa over here, a PG, and AppSpy. Review's amazing. It's the game where you're switching pictures between panels and separating out the layers of images to create new images and move characters between little screens. And, oh, it's really good and clever, and it won a bloody BAFTA. And it's got more stuff coming to it. There is an update which is currently available, which adds the demo for the game, which I think is slightly different from the main game, though I never played it, to both the Switch and iOS versions. But also, you get an extra level that you can play for, which is free, and so definitely get it. It's a great game, and if you haven't got the game already, get that first, because otherwise this means nothing to you. Fortnite! We're doing this quite quickly, because you've got a lot to get through. M, you are a Fortnite person. So we've got the iOS version, which has been available for a while, which appeared after PUBG appeared, but still no date on the Android version until now. Well, I say date. Sometime this summer is about as much information as we're given, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that's sooner than I was anticipating.
Really? You thought it was going to be delayed for longer?
Well, I thought that Epic would maybe try and see if it was going to be a profitable thing for the long run. Because obviously the iOS one is like raking in millions of dollars a day.
Mm.
But Android might perform a little bit differently. But realistically, it's just like, nah, Fortnite's still a big thing. It's going to be a success. You may as well release it on Android. Which is probably, yeah. if I'm going to play the mobile version, I will likely play it on Android.
Is that what your phone is then?
Yeah, because the iPad is just, it's too awkward to hold. Like, I haven't played it on an iPad for ages.
I know what you mean. It can be a bit, unless you can reposition all the buttons, it can be a bit awkward to get your thumb across, you know, the distance you need to get it across.
Well, funny you should say that, actually.
Oh, cool.
Go on, then.
Because they are also adding the option to change the buttons around. As well as the Android release.
They heard my internally monologued feedback that I was sending them via the ether. That's good. I'm very pleased. Because, yeah, that is a pain in the ass. Some stuff, whilst I prefer playing on a bigger screen by default, and RPGs and things are much, much better on iPad just because some of the text is so damn small and the buttons are so fiddly.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to FPS stuff, you can be a bit like, I literally can't reach that button near the middle of the screen. This is not good or comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's like, you know, I played Shadowgun Legends on my Android, and that's the way I like it.
Fair enough. Well, you can get it for free on iOS at the minute, but obviously, Android fans, your wait is nearly over. We're getting there. Summer's on the way. One thing that we were waiting for was Resident Evil 7, ever since they announced that there was going to be a version available for the Switch. Later, it was revealed that that version would not actually be a download from the eShop-style game, like most, or even a physical release. It was going to be only available via the cloud. And at the minute, A, it's out, and B, it's only available in Japan. Rick, you are the one who tried to get this running, and how far did you get exactly?
I got to a lot of menus in Japanese.
Uh-huh.
And then I used Google Translate to work out what the hell was going on.
Yep.
And got past that point, and then it kept kicking me out because apparently the servers are overloaded.
Ah.
Which is impressive for a cloud game, because I thought the whole point was that they had big servers.
Yeah.
Potentially infinite. But the actual download file is about 40 megabytes onto your Switch.
Really? Is that it?
So I just like hit the button, and it's like, done. Instantly.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. I'm going to boot it up. Everything's going to run fine. It just won't let me, because I'm not in Japan.
Yeah.
I've seen reports that in Japan it works fine, but for me, no.
Okay. We've played one of these cloud streaming games on mobile before. They did a version of one of the Final Fantasies. I feel like it's 13. They did Final Fantasy 13. Again, it was only available in Japan, and it was a cloud streaming game. And I did manage to get that running, and it did work for a bit. I don't know if it's because I was using, like, you know, hide your IP stuff in order to access it via Japan, so maybe my bandwidth wasn't the best. But it did technically work. And obviously, we're now used to this with services like PlayStation Now and that, which are, you know, hosting games at the other end. And this is nothing new. But I guess the trick here is getting it working. A, automatically it has to be over Wi-Fi, or does the Switch have a hardline Ethernet connection?
You needed a USB adapter for an Ethernet connector.
Of course you do.
And you need to be on 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi if you want to use the wireless as well.
That makes sense.
An important note to take.
Yeah, well, given that, you know, something like this is going to be meaty amounts of data being streamed, that does make sense. Yeah, so I guess it limits you to only being able to play this with a very, very good Wi-Fi connection, so you probably have to be in a house rather than, you know, out in public areas using crap local Wi-Fi. But we can't comment as to how it plays, but you say that the reports have been, yes, it does actually technically work.
Yes. So fingers crossed it comes to the UK, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah, yeah. So you can buy a pass to the game, right? So is that how it works, rather than you get the 15-minute trial, but then you have a 180-day pass, right?
Yes, and that's something like 13 quid.
Yeah.
Which is, and that comes with all the DLC, so it's the gold edition, if you will.
Okay.
Which is infinitely cheaper than it is on other consoles, but obviously you do have to play it streamed. So
yeah, and plus you can get it for 11 quid on like PS4 now.
Yeah.
So, but interesting, six month window. See, I quite like the idea of that to some degree, only because it stops it winding up on a pile of shame somewhere and forces you to play it. When you have that, like, right, I've only got this game for the weekend. I used to rent a lot of games back when Love Film existed before being swallowed up by Amazon and having the entire games bit removed from the subscription service, after which I bailed. But it was quite a nice way of, like, right, I I can't get another game until I complete this game. So there was this kind of enforced time limit on me having it. And you do fire through them quite a lot quicker. When it's like, right, get this done, brilliant, wing it back to the post, get another one. But it also was probably responsible for me not taking the time I should have when playing Dark Souls for the first time. Because I got about 5-6 hours in and went, no! This is... I hate it. I hate you. This is awful. This is the worst game in the world. And then sent it back in a frustration. Although, of course, we now have the remastered version appearing here. That's also coming to Switch, right? But it got delayed, didn't it?
Yes.
Into summer.
I was remember due out on May 18th, but alas, still no title. No date.
No date, no.
I was trying to think of the word. I was like, what's that word I use several times a day, every day?
Remembering basic vocabulary is the Dark Souls of speaking to... No, right. Okay, so moving on from all this, Super Hexagon is one of my favourite mobile games. Never missing an opportunity to bang on about how good that game is. Everyone play it. I think we gave it a 7 out of 10 on Pocket Gamer, which is frankly one of the worst things we've ever done.
We should go back and change that.
I think it was John Monday who did it. I've never forgiven him, because...
I'll be having words.
He's never been so wrong. 10 out of 10, that game. Incredible mobile game. But it's created by Terry Cavanagh, who also created VVVVVV, which was another very good, extremely lo-fi 8-bit style platformer with gravity inversion. It was very clever and lovely and good. He has just revealed this week that he's working on a brand new game. It is called Dicey Dungeons. And it seems to be, we're talking like roguelike RPG thing, which involves dice, unsurprisingly. So you get three classes, warrior, thief, and inventor, all of which start off with specific attributes. But he has got a little interview which he's posted up there on the site. Apparently it's going to be six classes in total. It will be a premium game. And they're dealing with artists and musicians in the upcoming future. He's bringing some people on board. But it looks lo-fi, and this guy has super pedigree. So hopefully he can make it work and rock, and it will come to mobile and be lovely. Anyone care about Terry Cavanagh games other than me?
No, I think they're quite nice. I like the aesthetic of them. And obviously they've got a market, like there's a huge market for them, considering that, you know, VVVVVV has like come onto Switch and things.
Yeah, that's true. People were mad for that game.
Yeah, plus I still remember getting drunk and playing Super Hexagon at uni.
Drunk Super Hexagon, that's just going to cause lasting damage.
That's the Dark Souls of...
It was like drinking Game Central. If you fail, you drink.
Oh, man. I remember the first time I downloaded that game, I was playing it at like 2:30 in the morning next to my sleeping partner. And just like, I think I was just being hypnotized. I think that's what was happening. I was in a trance by the end of it. But no, it's so good. And I've got beating... Just the first time you beat the first stage on that, so satisfying. Fucking amazing. Yep. Go and have a look. Right, more news still. News is still coming. Jurassic World Alive is out on iOS and Android. This is... It's a bit Pokemon-y, right? Pokemon Go-y.
Yes.
I'm saying this because I haven't played it. But what we mean by that, it's an AR monster battler game in which you collect your dinosaurs... And then you have them fight against other dinosaurs in large gym-looking things, to extend the Pokemon comparison. And then you apparently wander around, and there is an AR component, judging by the trailers, where you look up, and there's a big dinosaur in the street giving it rawr.
Giving it rawr.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen Jurassic Park. I know what dinosaurs sound like. They sound like rawr. Ah. That's how Jeff Goldblum, if he voiced a dinosaur, that's you go. Arr, arr, arr. That's his move. Oh, it's come out in 4K, you guys, on UHD Jurassic Park, and I'm very tempted because it's still very good. And an antidote to how absolute bobbins Jurassic World is. Do not at me. It's a terrible film, and I'm not seeing this new one, even though it'll be better.
No. To be fair, I'm with you there. Jurassic World is a little bit underwhelming, and I'm also probably not going to see this film.
It probably bummed me out, Jurassic World, because I was like, this is actually rubbish. This is making me reevaluate the Lost World.
Yeah, I just got mad that she never took her heels off.
Yeah, it's dumb. Everything in it is dumb. But it made $1 billion, and everyone listening to this probably really likes it. So sorry. Apologies, but it sucks, and so do you. Yep. Now, this game...
Don't leave us.
I haven't had a chance. They've already gone. We spent the beginning of this thing talking about you eating a cat. They bailed a long time ago. Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to play this, mostly because with these AR games, it's always tough because it involves leaving the house to wander around doing stuff, which is trickier to film and record. I have done things in the past, like that monster ghosty game where I've literally had a laptop strapped to my back sideways with cables coming out of it. I look like a crap Ghostbuster.
Yeah, that's still one of my favourite videos, though.
plugged into the phone, and I have to walk very carefully so I don't, like, interrupt the spinning hard drive going on behind me. It was a nightmare. But I will try and do something about this and see if we can get some AR footage captured. But it's free and it's available now, and it's all becoming in line with the movie, which is out in a second. So, hype. Dinosaur hype. Out and about this and last week. Let's start with Disney Heroes Battle Mode, which has gone right up the charts because it's one of those combinations of a popular format mixed with a lot of very, very big IP. So it's all of Disney stuff. You take control of Ralph from Wreck-It Ralph and the Mum from The Incredibles and Frozone from The Incredibles and that weird llama thing that appeared in the animal film. What was it called?
Zootopia
or Zootropolis, depending on what region you're in.
Yeah, that's weird. That weirded me out.
It was strange, wasn't it? Everything from Disney and Pixar smashed together into this very, very idle RPG. If you're not familiar with that genre, it's one of those ones where basically you sort of sit there and watch while battles play out in front of you, occasionally tapping on the screen when one of your characters glows because they've charged up enough to launch a special attack, and then at the end of it you see who wins. So it's basically like whoever puts the hardest people into the battle will win ultimately, so you just have to sit there and watch it play out. And then the metagame behind it is upgrading your characters through experience and leveling them up, and that's the bit you need to make sure you've done in order to ensure that you succeed during the game. I've played a couple of hours of this in order to grab enough footage for the review, because it's slow going. Hinnerick.
Very, very, just the animation, the speed of it, just the pacing is all. It only takes about 15 seconds to clear each screen, according to the timer at the top, but it is just like plodding along each time you go.
Yeah.
And you can't, your upgrades are slow. You take like an hour before you can start leveling up and that kind of stuff. It's weird. Yeah. You have to get to team level 30 before you can put times 2 mode on.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I think is ridiculous.
It's bonkers, isn't it? It wants you to really grind out that opening bit.
Yeah.
It's very slickly produced, I should say. The animations are all lovely. Obviously, they've got all the big licenses. They've done these nice cartoony versions. Obviously, half of them are cartoons to begin with. But they've done really nice 2D cartoon versions of all the characters. The polish is superb. You use stickers. You have to collect like 6 stickers in order to promote each character. And you collect those through battles. And it's the same thing you would expect from any kind of free-to-play card battle-y game where you grind up. But there's just even less for you to do during the actual battles. So it's fine to watch it play out. I think what we said in the review, and it's true, like it sets out to do what it tries to do very well. So it's trying to be an idle RPG where you sit back and watch it all play out and just collect characters, and it does that great. If you're looking for actual like gameplay involvement beyond leveling stuff up and clicking stuff in order to, you know, promote characters and whatnot, you're not going to find a great deal. But that's not what this genre is really about.
I mean, I say it's slow and it's kind of brrr, but I have actually been playing it for the entirety of this podcast.
Yes.
Just in the background.
Which is what these games allow.
It's surprisingly playable. You can just keep tapping and I keep moving forwards and I'm winning and it's great. And it's actually like, oh yeah, there's a sense of progression. It's slow, but you're still getting places.
Yeah.
I haven't had to go back and grind very much, which is kind of nice. But yeah, I don't know. If you're a fan of the genre, you'll probably like this game.
And if you like seeing Sully and Boo launching into battle against evil Disney things.
Against themselves in shadow form.
The Nega versions of themselves, yeah. then you might like it. Disney Heroes Battle Mode, it's obviously free, because of course it is. Along with Dragon Ball Legends, which is arguably sort of one of the big releases this week, but it's out on Android only in a rare instance of Google Play pipping the App Store to a premiere. So Dave Aubrey has reviewed this with a lot of words.
Too he's many a big to fit fan. In my video. He loves a bit of Dragon Ball.
He know? Does. He's a big anime guy, isn't he? So he was the right man for the job. And I've played a bunch of this morning as well. So the way that this plays out is it's almost a bit Pokemon battle-y in some ways, in the way that the visuals are presented. We talked about it when you saw the... I think you previewed it, didn't you, Rick? Or you at least yes. saw something about it.
Yeah, played it at GDC.
Broadly speaking, like Dave came to the conclusion of it being like one of the best anime games on mobile, certainly, like offered official licensed anime. And a really, really good looking one because the visuals are splendid. Your characters are hovering in midair over these kind of just like floating in like ravines, it looks like, or over open landscapes. But you're in the foreground with your back to the screen, your character. And the enemies are in the background, you know, on the right-hand side of the screen facing you in the distance. But you have movement. You can, like, swipe quickly left and right to dodge, but you can also just hold, swing left, swing right, push forward to go closer and backwards. So you can kind of move around in 3D space. Really, there's only a couple of positions, which is just, like, dodge, and then go up close so you can punch them, or go far away so that you can launch, like, fireballs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are really the only positions to worry about. But in the bottom corner of the screen is cards, and you tap on the cards and they unleash your attacks in order. You can tap loads of cards together to make combos and unleash them dead quick. And then you switch between the characters because you always have a roster of like at least three characters. You can switch between different versions of Goku and other characters around. And it's very impressive. Visually, it's proper anime in that wonderful, like, you know, every attack is ludicrously over the top and like a firework display is going off in a small room. So it's got that going for it. And the card stuff is very familiar again if you've played any of them card brawlers where you just hit a card and it executes a special move and you just do it in the right corner, in the right order, rather. As you mentioned, I think, in the preview, there's that elemental stuff going on as well. Mm-hmm. So it's rock, paper, scissors, choose the right fighters for the right attacks for the right enemies. It's fine.
Have you played it online?
Yeah, I have played it online
as
well.
Did it work?
It did work online for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won, so I'm taking that as a good thing. But maybe it wasn't working online for them, and that's why I won. I don't know. Have you struggled getting it online?
I can't even play it on my phone.
Oh, no.
It needs a high-end Android device to play it. So I can't play it, which is really upsetting because I was so hyped for it after the preview and I was like, oh yeah, it's finally come out. And then it just won't work on any of my devices.
Oh man, I'm running it on a Xiaomi Redmi Note 4, which is not really super high end.
No.
But hey, it works. It looks good. So there's mud in your eye. Dave liked it. 7 out of 10. One of the better anime time wasters on mobile. It can be very confusing and obtuse. During the upgrade process, there's too many menus, there's too many different currencies, and it's well free to play and all of it. But in spite of that, it manages to be really quite good. So you can get it on Android. We're still waiting on the iPhone and iPad release, though we do have a date, I think. Are we allowed to reveal the date?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think anyone Dragon said Ball that Z? We can't. Yeah.
It's already on the App Store. As in, like, the date is already noticed in the App Store.
Oh, there you go.
So what is it? Like, it's
June 14th.
June 14th. There you go. Brilliant. All right, cool. So you'll be able to get that in 3 weeks or so time on your iOS device. So look forward to that. We've already covered the Jurassic World Alive, which has appeared on the App Stores. Oh, Homo Machina came out last week. Or the week before. Either way, we haven't covered it properly as a review. You went hands-on with it, Rick. That was another of your GDC previews, as I recall.
Yep.
I've now played it as well. It's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Clever little game. If you remember it from the preview, it is a game in which you take control of the workers that exist inside the human body. So take Inside Out, the Pixar movie, where there's people living in your brain controlling what you do, and then extend that to your entire torso, arms, legs, everything. There's little people wandering around controlling your eyeballs and your fingers and your nervous system and everything. And it's all represented as kind of nice industrial, steampunky kind of machinery. And it's good because I enjoyed this because it's all very, like, contextually intuitive. So every scene you go to, it's like, oh, you've got to eat food, and suddenly it cuts to your mouth on the outside. And it's just like, right, it doesn't give you any instructions at all. You just start prodding things and work out what levers you need to pull and push in order to get the jaw moving so you can masticate and get all the stuff chomped up. Then once that's done, it cuts inside and your tongue is kind of presented like a conveyor belt, which is sucking food in. And then you have this stompy thing which smashes down on it to try and mix it up and then separate all the different food types out. And again, there's no instructions really at all. It just shows you the screen and you have to work it out, which I always like. It's really good. There are a couple of places where it becomes just like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. And you spend ages working it out, and then when you work it out, it's like, oh, and then you do it in 5 seconds. So that esoteric bit does cause some issues. But I liked it. Have you played it since the preview, or did you? I know Harry did the review.
I haven't got around to it yet, but I will do.
Okay.
Well, I figured from my preview that it was going to be that kind of annoying, oh, I really don't get what's going on, and then you figure it out kind of thing. So I'm glad that I was right. If nothing else.
Good for you. Well, well done. On your correctness. But yeah, it'd be 8 out of 10 from us. I liked it. Harry liked it. Few issues, you know, with that obscure difficulty thing, but good stuff, broadly speaking. Cool idea, well executed. Homer Machina is the name. Don't make fun of the name, you cretins. Sorry, I'm about to keep going back to the YouTube channel every day to be like, Homo. Every comment.
God,
like, God's sake, people. Really? Are we still there? Pathetic. Deploy and destroy. This is nonsense. So, anyone played Deploy and Destroy?
No.
I looked at it and thought, no.
Well, it's actually not bad, right? But first person multiplayer shooter with the weirdest license combination I've ever seen. So technically licensed, and it's advertising it as like Ash versus the Evil Dead. So the series that just got cancelled. In its third season, has got a game out for it now, which is heartening. And it's, you know, The Evil Dead, if you haven't seen the films, and it's got a TV show as well, which is not very good. But, you know, Evil Dead 2 is still amazing, so shut up. Where you can take control of either a generic character you create, option one, Ash, and his associates, compadres from the TV show, so the lassie and the dude who are his little sidekicks. Either of them three. Or one of the guys from Divergent.
Yeah, I had to double read that when I read the news on it, like, yesterday. I was like, why?
Like, what? The generic young adult man from Divergent, like, the lesser of the young adult things alongside The Maze Runner and Hunger Games and all that. Like, what? Ash from The Evil Dead, the like proper once banned R-rated super gory thing, and I don't even know his name. Just like generic looking man from Divergent, which aimed at squarely at like tweens. I don't get why it's like the only two licenses they could afford.
Probably because they never finished making the Divergent series. They stopped because they split the last one into two and then never bothered making the final of the last friggin'
Have they actually bailed on the last one?
Yeah, because the actors, like, they originally, I think, were just supposed to do three movies because it's three books. Okay. They split the last one into two for some reason.
Because everyone
was doing it. But then they took so long to do it, I think, that the contracts ran out and like it was it was like plummeting hard anyway, like no one gave a crap about the final film. And none of the actors wanted to come back.
That's fantastic.
I don't blame them because I do watch all of the films. So I have seen the Divergent and Legion and the other one was movies. And yeah, they are far and away like the worst of those films. Maze Runner, the first one, that's quite watchable as a thing, like for what it is. The second one lost its way completely, and I haven't seen the third one. But the first one, it kind of makes sense. And, you know, we all know how the Hunger Games did a nosedive at the end. But the Divergent, the very first one, the setup of like, right, you are allocated to sorting hat style to different classes or different factions, aren't they? Depending on like your character type. As if everyone is just like one character type. And so you have people like, right, you're selfish house and you're like likes puppies house and you're like just dickhead house. Like there's one of the houses which is basically dickhead house. And like, and that's it. That's all that you are. And like, from the very off, it's like, none of this makes any sense. This is a really badly conceived idea for a universe. So I'm not surprised that everyone lost interest. Anyway, you can play as whoever that guy is from that film.
Same as 4.
which is super good in a first-person shooter where you can't even see the character that you're playing as, so I don't know why they bothered in the first place.
That's probably why they got the license, so you can't see him.
It's rough. But this is a very circuitous way of going around to say Deploy and Destroy is actually a multiplayer shooter that's not that bad. It's a nonsense in terms of the concept, but it plays kind of fine. It's all right. The controls are decent enough. It moves at the right speed. The battles are short and sharp. The characters make no difference whatsoever. But it's always mixing up the different modes as well. So you can do like 6 or 8 players where it's just like everybody kill everyone. Then it's 3v3 team stuff if you want to do that. And you get one healing thing per game. You get one grenade per game. And that's it. And we've seen lots of games that are very similar. It's not a bad example of it, but it's not really doing anything to elevate the genre at all. And pointless weird cameos.
Bizarre.
Make no sense. There are more coming, though. So you can look forward to, I don't know, the character who played the transporter after Jason Statham left. Like the straight DVD sequel. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to have to work quite hard to top Divergent Man. So, yeah, Deploy and Destroy. it's not as bad as it should be. Who else has played a thing? Em, have you played a thing?
I played G30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, explain G30, because I've played a bit of this too.
It's like a minimalistic puzzler based around someone who has a cognitive disorder.
Mm.
So, it plays really erratically to begin with until you start piecing things together. It's a dial-turning puzzler. So you've got to make a picture by turning dials, but you'll also have words that flash up. And when you click the words, you then build a separate story. Sounds confusing, but it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's like this: the words are kind of the metagame going on behind the actual main game. The dial-turning puzzlers, basically, if you've ever played an Uncharted game, there's always one or two of these puzzles that appear, where an ancient seal appears, and then you can rotate, different bits of it in order to create that picture. That's kind of what this is doing. But you're making, identifying things like trees and birds and stuff like that. They're all different colours. And as you're rotating it, there is a sentence that's kind of forming above the image. And every time you rotate it, the sentence changes. And I've only played like about 20 minutes of it. But to me, it seems like it's a cognitive disorder at work in the background here. And you are assembling these images in the way that you are, if you were having trouble perceiving something, you're literally trying to make sense of what you're seeing from its component parts. And as you're doing so, this, the story, the sentence structures are starting to make sense above you. So it's all about the perception of your reality and how living with something where that perception is confused or you're misinterpreting stuff. Trying to make sense of it is hard and challenging and can conceal what's going on around you, really. But, I was impressed by what I've played so far. Have you played much?
Yeah, no, I did the review over on 1-4-8, and I played through a couple of hours, I think. It's not a particularly long game, but it is clever in the way that some of the puzzles work. Like, as you work through the worlds, one bit that really got me was the end of the second world, where you get to the last puzzle, but when you solve it, you can't move on. But then you realise the sentence that you made says something about going through the gate or something, or going, you have to go back to the gate.
Mm-hmm.
When the previous puzzle, the picture was a hand. So I said, okay. So I went back to the previous puzzle, made a gate, and then it let me move on.
Oh, I see.
And but spoilers. Then like the, yeah, sorry. The it's not really spoilers really early. But the wording then at the top of the puzzler that I resolved changed to mean something different. And opened up a couple more words for this bigger story. So it makes you revisit puzzles to solve them in different ways sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that made it sort of step up from being a usual dial puzzler thing. If you're not invested in the story, it can be a little bit dry, but when it introduces stuff like that, it was just really clever.
Well, I'm playing more of this because I'm sold. I really like the look of it. But G30 is the name. I have to find out. I'm sure there's a reason it's called G30 as well. We might learn that later. But that's worth a look. I believe it's premium, this one.
Yeah, it's like $1 or $2.99, I think, or something. Okay. Or maybe it's $4.99.
Nice. Well, yeah, I'm going to be videoing that because I think it's cool and fun. So G30, take a look at that. On the other end of the dealing with big issues in a sensitive way, Zero Sum. The cancer game
new
about curing
game.
Cancer. That they keep saying the word cancer in a way that is, I'm not sure how I feel about it. So this is a maths game, is what it actually is. Basically, the gameplay part of it is involved with solving maths equations so that they add up to zero. So you're presented with a series of numbers, say like four numbers in a chain, and by inserting things like plus and minus and other mathematical figures in between it, you have to put them in the right place so that the sum, those four numbers, will end up creating zero. That's how it starts, with just a single line of numbers and you making them add up to zero. Then suddenly they'll crisscross, so there'll be two equations going on and they'll share a number like a crossword puzzle. And then you have to make sure that the symbols are right, so that if you put a plus in there, it has to be plus in both the vertical and the horizontal equation, and you have to make that work. Then they start doing ones where there's loads of chains together. Then they introduce a time limit, so they start kind of making it, you know, harder and harder and harder for you to do what you're doing, and it gets more and more complex. That's good. Like, the math stuff I actually found quite fun, and being challenged again in that brain training sort of way. That was kind of cool. The way that it's framed, though, is very odd, because the idea is it's a game that is giving a bunch of money to cancer research, so it's donating half of its proceeds to cancer research, which is great. But the story of the game, such as it is told in, like, FMV, really bad FMV cutscenes. We were talking about Night Trap however long ago. Like, a really dodgy-looking FMV. And it's a professor lassie who has been researching the cure to cancer with maths. We carry the 3, add the 1, minus 7. Yes! Cancer cure! You're like, what? And then a terrorist, who calls himself Terrorist, pops up, bold, in a black polo neck, and shoots her. And her assistant wanders in. And this is all done in, like, really bad cutscenes. And is like, oh no, professor, what's happened to you? You've been shot. She's like, no, you need to take my equations. She's like, I can't possibly do it. She's like, yes, you need to cure cancer. Again. It's like, oh, okay. So it's this very deliberately tongue-in-cheek B-movie thing, which is genuinely giving money to cancer from the proceeds that it makes, if it makes any. But, yeah, weird-ass tone. And I'm like, for what, is it just a maths game? It's so strange. So there is a video review of it on AppSpy. I suggest you have a look at it to see what I'm talking about, because it's bizarre. But we've done an actual review. We got a silver. We actually liked it. Harry liked it. Say, the math stuff's really good. And the framing is weird, but I can't deny that I didn't laugh once or twice. But that's just because it's just so utterly ridiculous. So, yeah, Zero Sum is the name of that one. Have a look at it. There are a couple of other things, Skalak being one of them, so that got a gold award from us. I've played a little bit of this. It's a really nice puzzler, which is all about slotting items into the right place. Very satisfying if you have a touch of the OCD about you. But very neat, very minimal. Again, doesn't explain itself. You just grab shapes and try and put them into the places where you, these kind of 3D structures where you think they belong, and it goes and slots in. You're like, ah, lush. But it's really nicely presented. Gets very, very complicated and quite abstract. We gave that a gold award. Harry really liked it. Go check that out. But also, go and have a look at the article that M puts up. We always mention it every week, which has got the big list of all the games that are available to you at the minute. I feel like we covered quite a lot there.
Yeah, that was good. It was a nice time as well.
We had a nice time. That's good. I hope you had a nice time as well, lovely listener person. And we'll be back again, because we're not buggering off into another one of these PGC things until Helsinki, which is in September. So we should have an unbroken run for a while. So thank you all for listening to us, and do come back next week for more chatter about the mobile games. See you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.